The pill is a reminder. A reminder that it is you that has the power. It is you that has the wisdom. It is you that has the answers. Now, I've been a life strategist professionally since 1998. I have the questions to invite you to go deeper, to see the power, potential, and possibility in every circumstance, with an invitation to thrive rather than simply survive, and to live rather than simply exist. It is the question that we are all answering in some capacity on a daily basis. Who do you want to be? I am Mark Ward, and this is The Pill.
Assumption override. Please engage critical thinking now.
Check your pills. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Change your thinking. Change your life. Boundaries. It was the poet Maya Angelou. She said, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them." And I would suggest, like Oprah, that you believe them the first time, because, as you know, it matters little what people say. What matters is what they do, because that is the true demonstration of their soul. Now listen, we all have different beliefs about our existence on this planet. I happen to be one that believes that we all have a purpose. But even if you do not subscribe to that belief, I'm quite sure that we can all agree that a life of purpose is arguably more fulfilling than just an aimless existence. So, that said, for that reason, it is important that we consciously manage our time, energy, and attention. That means that we need to develop a heightened awareness of our relationships with other people to be certain that we are always always getting a return on our investment. We have to become savvy investors, and we have to be sure that we are not making ourselves vulnerable to the vampires. That's right, there are vampires. They are energy vampires, and they will suck every available ounce of your energy with their hunger for personal drama, their addiction to negativity, and their need to support their victim story. You know these people. You know, where they are always the one being victimized. Why cannot anybody see? Why isn't anyone doing anything about it? They don't even know that they're doing it, and telling them that they are doing it, that would simply feed the pain, hunger, and drama that is part of their whole story. So it's a waste of time and energy. And you know what? It's not about them. Judging another person for their behavior, it's natural. We've all done it, but it's also unproductive, because we do not know the breadth of their life experience, what and who they have suffered. We only know the story as they have told it. But judging your intentions, your needs, and your desires, that is a different story, because we are the CEO of our life. We are responsible for deciding who we will and will not allow into our lives, because you teach someone how to treat you. So, with few exceptions, there are ultimately no victims. How many times have we listened to other people share their stories of woe about some friend or lover that has abused them in a way that was strikingly similar, or exactly the same, as the last five times that they shared their drama? Well, without excusing the possible inappropriate or inexcusable behavior of the one that they feel has abused them, the fact that there is a pattern suggests that they are a victim, ultimately, by their own choice. And if we are to be honest, if we have to admit the truth, that's not only the experience of those other people, but also our own life at some stage in our life as well. For me, it always comes back to this. What are you trying to create? What is the evidence that suggests that you are succeeding in that creation? What are the challenges and obstacles that you see to actually achieving it? And how will you overcome those challenges and obstacles? We have to decide what we will allow. We have to decide who will have the access and entry into our lives and the experiences that are shaping us. If you ignore this due diligence and simply allow things to happen without clarity, without direction, here's what's going to happen. You will lose energy, you will impair your progress, and in many cases, put your health and livelihood at great risk. Success requires clarity. It requires 100% responsibility. Your life is always, always the effect that you cause with your thoughts, words, and your actions. So here's the big question for you today. How will you manage yourself to be certain that you are getting a return on your investment?
I'm singing you this song to say goodbye. I'm moving up and on, it's time to fly. I wish you and your life the very best, without me as your captive guest. Never again will I just give you the space, letting you dump your garbage right in my face. I know it's just projection, you don't mean to be mean, but I don't have to sit and be a projection screen. Never again will I be your sounding board when you are using words as weapons of war. From now on I'm protecting the family jewels from you breaking and entering the palace I rule. Never again. Never again. Never again will I try nourishing you when it is clear that guilt is your favorite food. You want me for your dinner whenever I get close, and I have no more need to be that kind of a roast. Never again. Never again. They say forgiveness sets us free, but first we need our boundaries. The time has come to take a stand and take my gonads from your hand. Driver's seat, now that I've locked the door and swallowed the key. You thought you had a license to take me for a ride, but you have just been handed down your last DUI. Never again will I hand you the controls. I take my joystick back, I'm king of my soul. You took me for a softie, all lover and no guts, but my lips were made for kissing more than your butt. Never again. Never again.
Thank you. one of the most important lessons I ever learned from you. And I still am, you know, I think I know the lesson, and then I'll walk into a situation and think that's that same lesson. And that is, when people show you who they are, believe them.
Yes, absolutely. A person says to you, I'm selfish, or I'm mean, or I am unkind.
Or I'm crazy.
Or I'm crazy. Believe them. They know themselves much better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But no, more often than not, those of us who don't trust life say, don't say a thing like that. Mm-hmm. You're not really crazy. You're not really unkind. You're not really mean. And as soon as you say that, the person
that you know.
And shows you. I told you.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I was unkind. So now why are you angry?
You told me that you didn't mean to hurt me, but you did. Again. What did you mean to do exactly? Such bullshit! It's not so much your actions over and over again that make you a supreme asshole. It's not even your continued blatant disregard. It's your incessant refusal to take responsibility for the damage that you continue to do over and over again to those around you. Oh, you don't see it, you don't feel it, so it didn't happen. I'm not even certain that I care anymore about your unbelievable lack of awareness. At what point does one's unconsciousness, their supreme obliviousness to everything but themselves, become unforgivable? Now I am complicit in my own abuse. You have shown me who you are time and time again, and I have chosen to see who I thought you could be, rather than the asshole that you truly are. Well, now it's on me. There are no victims here. Ultimately, you cannot be taken advantage of. People cannot take what you do not allow. So this is not about you. I know that now. This is about me, what I want, what I invite, what I create, what I am willing to accept. Well, guess what? I finally woke up. I won't do this anymore. I have awakened from a very long nap, and I am ready for something different, something better. So, it's been real. A little too real, actually, but thanks. No, really, thanks. You have given me more than I could ever possibly have imagined. So I'm gonna go now. Bye.
Stop existing. Start living. Take the pill. Side effects reported include increased consciousness, heightened awareness, unlimited gratitude, and unbridled joy. People have reported uncontrollable tapping, singing in elevators, and dancing with abandon from listening to the pill. Live the life that you were meant to live. Take your prescription for success. Listen to Mark Ward in The Pill Daily.
One of the most shocking findings of my work was the idea that the most compassionate people I have interviewed over the last 13 years were also the absolutely most boundaried. Because I'll give you a great definition of the definition of boundary that I use in the book. Boundary is simply what's okay and what's not okay. What I think we do is we don't set boundaries. We let people do things that are not okay or get away with behaviors that are not okay. Then we're just resentful and hateful. Me, I'd rather be loving and generous and very straightforward with what's okay and what's not okay. I learned from the research. I was the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I assumed for the first 35 years of my life that people were sucking on purpose just to piss me off. Mm-hmm. That's what I assumed. Whether it was someone who worked for me or it was someone who, family member who was constantly like, I was always critical and judgy. And I was like, why are they choosing these things? Why are they making their choices? They should know better. And then when this thing came up for my therapist, what if people are doing the best they can? I thought, my husband had the most beautiful answer to that question. He said, I'll never know whether people are doing the best they can or not. But when I assume people are, it makes my life better. So now I think I am not as sweet as I used to be, but I'm far more loving.
It's not just some like technique so that you can do that. That's really like a way of being to like nurture that soil of wholeheartedness.
Yeah. Generosity, to assume the best about people, is almost an inherently selfish act. Because the life you change first is your own.
You love yourself.
Yeah. And so it's, so my question is big, B-I-G. Mm-hmm. What boundaries need to be in place for me to stay in my integrity and make the most generous assumptions about you? But generosity can't exist without boundaries. And we are not comfortable setting boundaries because we care more about what people will think and we don't want to disappoint anyone. We want everyone to like us. And boundaries are not easy. But I think they're the key to self-love, and I think they're the key to treating others with loving kindness, to staying. You can't, nothing is sustainable without boundaries. I think compassion and empathy are different things. And again, I'm relying on my data for this. I think compassion is a deeply held belief that we're inextricably connected to each other by something rooted in love, in goodness. I call that God. Not everybody calls that God. My dad would call it fishing.
Fishing?
Is
it fishing?
No, there's no G in fishing. Okay. But I think compassion is a deeply held belief. I think empathy is the skill set to bring compassion alive. So empathy is something we can teach. I mean, it's something we've taught our kids since they were very little. It's about how to communicate that deep love for people in a way so that people don't know they're not alone. I think there's a lot of new and interesting information out there about empathy not being a good thing, about that, you know, there's an argument that says, you know, if Travis is in struggle and I practice empathy with you, I'm taking on your darkness and it leads to burnout and it leads to, but empathy is not feeling for somebody. It's feeling with them. It's touching a place in me that knows where you've been so I can look at you and say, me too, brother. You're not alone in this. And I find empathy to be infinite. I think it gives back tenfold what you put out.
It's sustaining. Like if you've done the work and you have your boundaries,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could tread that water forever and never get tired.
Okay, so empathy. I'm quoting Travis here, empathy. If you've done your work and set your boundaries, you can tread that water forever. Yeah. Amen. It's not finite and it keeps giving back to us. And so this idea that, but here we go back to where we started this conversation. Empathy minus boundaries is not empathy. Compassion minus boundaries is not genuine. Vulnerability without boundaries is not vulnerability. So you see that there's a right. huge riff here, which is boundaries are freaking important.
Right.
And it's not, they're not fake walls. They're not separation. Boundaries are not division. They're respect. There's here's what's okay for me and here's what's not.
I have a friend. Yeah, I know, it's shocking, isn't it? I have a friend. We used to be very close. The closest that two people could be at one point in our lives. Now, many years have passed, and there has been a lot of pain. But despite what I would consider to be his often egregious behavior, I have allowed this relationship to survive in a very limited and restricted fashion. I love him. So rather than waiting or hoping for him to change or being frustrated, angry, or hurt when he behaves in the way that is customary for him, I manage the relationship. I manage our interactions, my expectations, and my investment in him. And I'll give you a small example. Whenever we speak, which at this point is probably every couple of months, he will always say, you know, we should get together for lunch. I'll call you on Friday. Well, the call never comes. The lunch never happens. And it's never mentioned. No, I'm sorry, I forgot. No, I'm sorry, things got busy. No, I'm sorry, but you're just not interesting enough to me to waste an entire lunch. Not a word. Not a text, not a message, nothing. I used to get frustrated. I used to get angry, very angry. This little act of disrespect, time and time again, triggered all of the memories of those old stories of us and how he took advantage of me. Yeah, Mark, well, here's the thing. You have to be lying down for someone to walk on you. The first time, it's sad. The second time, yeah, shame on you. So finally, when I was exhausted from all of my self-righteous anger, I simply let it go. I let it go. I'm going to let him be who he is in relation to me. I'm going to be who I am. And I'm going to love him as he shows up. And I'm not going to set myself up by expecting more than the evidence suggests that he's going to give. He is who he is. He has shown me time and time again. I know him. I see him. I love him. And that relationship has boundaries, and I am the border guard that silently regulates my investment. And because of this, I feel that I can truly love him for all that he is, even those things that he has not. Now simply looking at them as an irritating and careless absurdity of human nature. I manage myself accordingly. If he actually shows up for that lunch one day, it won't be a change, it will simply be an exception. A delightful exception. And if it happens, I'll relish it.
Can I offer you this, my beloved? This is not about trust. This is about clear boundaries. About clear boundaries. About not letting people into your life to behave badly because you feel bad about body image and career success and your what? Your sexual past. What, you mean the giving away of the virginity? Will all the virgins stand up, please? We got one. All right. We got two. There are three in 300. Clear boundaries. Clear boundaries. Why am I talking into this mic? Clear boundaries. Clear boundaries, Miss Venus. Your daddy is your daddy and your lover is your lover. And imagine being a man wanting to be in relationship with one of us gorgeous, phenomenal women. And not being appreciated for the value we bring to the table as a man because we're being compared with somebody else. Did you get that? How can he feel good about being with you when you don't recognize the value he brings because you're comparing him to somebody else? Somebody better than him, somebody not as good as him, somebody, you know, that you had back in 56 who is now with Shaquita and don't care about you. Yeah. Boundaries. Openness.
I heard that you learned in the process to be able to say, no, I'm not able to do that, which I'm going to take that line from you. No, I'm really not able to do that.
That is my no is a complete sentence which is, I'm sorry, no, I'm not able to do that. And that's all I say. And it's really hard to say that to people. It's very interesting how, I don't know, wired we are to tell somebody 1,000 reasons why we can't do something for them. You know, you say, I can't do it because of this and this, and as if you're required.
To defend your niceness.
Yes,
your
to defend
nicehood.
It.
Yes.
Right, yeah, I'm a good person,
I'm a good person,
nice.
I want you to think I'm nice, and so I'm going to tell you why, all the reasons why. So you got that, you figured that out.
When people are giving you counsel and people are giving you advice, the vast majority of counsel that you'll get is coming from a place of love and from a place of peace.
Yeah.
But then understand, at that end, you have to make that decision and be perfectly comfortable with the decision that this is in the best interest of me and where I am right now.
Yeah.
And one thing we know about all the decisions that we make is you are never going to make a decision that 100% of the people say that's a great decision.
Ain't that the truth?
Never. Yeah. And that's okay. The thing I then try to lean on is with that is don't let people that don't matter too much matter too much. We're worried about what X person thinks or what Y person thinks. I'm like, why do they have so much influence over your decision making or your life?
Yeah.
Because the decision that you make is not going to impact them, nor is anything they do should it impact you. So don't let people that don't matter too much matter too much.
Don't we do that? Don't we take on other people's stuff and make it about us when we don't know that we matter? When you don't know you matter, you will make somebody else's crazy about you. You got your own stuff to handle. You don't have to take on anybody else's. But I made my grandmother's meanness and her crazy and her impatience all about me. And I didn't know that I mattered because I took on what was given to me as my own. We have a tendency to do that. And it was many, many years later, many, many years later, when I understood my grandmother's story. You see, we get our meaning and our mattering from our story. And if we tell a story in a way that disempowers us, we won't know that we matter even in the midst of the story.
Was actually kind of doing a little self-reflection and kind of an inventory on my own life about, frankly, people in my life that had wound up betraying me, attacking me, or in some way trying to exploit me. And so I started kind of writing about, you know, who are these people? Just writing for myself. And I started seeing some patterns. And it turns out that these type people that I call baiters, which is just a term that stands for backstabbers, abusers, imposters. I mean, you just go right on down the line. Takers, exploiters, and reckless, because they're reckless with your life. You just go right on down the line. And you find out that there are characteristics, traits, and profiles that characterize these people.
As you're talking, I'm sure a lot of people are experiencing this. You're immediately thinking of people like this in your own life. The goal, I imagine, is to get rid of those people in your life, which is probably easier said than done.
It is easier said than done. But, you know, one of the things that we have to learn to do, and I tell you, the reason I decided to go ahead and write this book is because I think the world has changed. When the game changes, you need a new rule book, and that's what Life Code is. It's the rules for winning in the real world. And that means you got to challenge some of the things you may have been taught. I was always taught, give people the benefit of the doubt. Right. It's the Christian thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. Give people the benefit of the doubt. I think that is crazy. I think it is insane. Why would we give somebody the benefit of the doubt? That's no less wrong than judging them without information. Why not? Let's not do either. Let's just gather data and make data-based decisions about people in our life.
Let's say you've come to this conclusion and you've figured out who the person is. How do you cut them off, so to speak?
Step one is trust your gut. I mean, trust your gut. Because how many times, I'll bet you can go back and make a list, Sanjay, of the people in your life that you just had a funny feeling about it. You weren't sure. And so you say, hey, you know, don't be judgmental. Just, you know, get over it. Kind of go with, you got to listen to your gut. We don't tend to lie to ourselves about things like that. And if you've got an uneasy feeling about somebody, listen to it.
That's great
and
advice,
when you listen to it, then you put them on a watch list. Maybe you don't take them out of your life yet, but you put them on a watch list. You pay attention to see if they possess the evil eight, if they're using any of what I call the nefarious 15, the ways that they exploit you. You learn those things, you watch for them, and you go, wow, this person is infiltrating into my life. This person is trying to get me into a compromising, conspiratorial disclosure about our boss or about a friend. Look, if they'll gossip with you, they'll gossip about you. So, I mean, if you see people doing that, listen to your gut. And if those things begin to trigger, say, you know what, I'm putting up a wall here. You don't have to let people know what you're thinking, but you start backing away. You stop exposing yourself to that person.
If you do decide that, you know, they need to be cut out, there's an old adage that a tiger doesn't lose its stripes. I mean, can the person eventually in the future, 6 months, a year from now, do you give them a second chance?
These people typically don't improve. I'm sorry, but and that's not true in every situation, but the prognosis is not good for these people to improve. In fact, if they go to therapy, it's usually court-ordered because they would not go on their own. But they go to therapy, a lot of them tend to get worse because the therapist teaches them the symbol system. It teaches them how to fake it. Because, listen, you need to learn how to say this and that and the other. You need to feel this. They go, oh, okay, gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. It just makes them better at disguising who they are. So therapy tends to make these people worse.
Really,
and you get away from them for a while and you go, you know, I kind of miss that person.
Right.
Now, you miss who you wish they were.
Let's say you see a friend of yours who clearly is in one of those types of relationships with a toxic person. I mean, this is your area of expertise. Should you get in there and say, look, hey, buddy, pay attention to what's going on here?
It depends on how strong your relationship is. Typically, that doesn't work out for you. The best thing you can do is say to that person, you do what you want, but let me tell you, I have bells going off about this person. I am going to pull back from this person. I am going to protect myself here. You have to make up your own mind. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. Then you've put them on alert. You've sounded the bell without them saying, well, you tried to break us up. What, are you jealous of our friendship? What? Not at all. You guys do what you need to do.
Right.
I'm telling you, for me, I'm taking a step back. So, like, if you want to go to the movies and you want the three of us to go, you two just go ahead and you and I'll catch up later.
This is The Pill, your daily dose for what ails you.
Hey, if you're not following me elsewhere on social media, what the hell's wrong with you? You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AskMarkWard. You can also find me on Facebook, facebook.com/AskMarkWard. I hope to see you there. If you do join me, make sure to say hello.
Mr. Mark Ward, love that wave that you did about your friend. Love it when people use real examples from their life to explain and talk about something. I have a friend who I have struggled in our friendship for a long time, and I've had a few breaks from her. That's something I do. One of the strategies I do is take time away from people. But recently it's come to my attention within myself that the good things that I liked about her have become so diminished by the negative things that are impacting on me, that I've had to let her go completely. And totally different situation to yours, but I was still fascinated with your story. So it took me a while to let go of her because the things that I liked about her, I really liked. Like, she's quite an unusual character, which makes sense, right? Because the things that I didn't like were really intense and really out there. So ultimately, the relationship didn't make me happy. In the end, I just had to let it go.
Hey, Georgie D, thanks for the call. Sometimes I believe that is the best thing to do. And it's not only the best thing for you, but usually, ultimately, it is the best thing for that person as well. I've come to believe that, like so many things in our life, that many relationships are seasonal. You know, they have their season and they have their time. I feel like I'm about to break out in that song from Pippin. But I think that it's so very true. And sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's painful. And I think that you have to also embrace the gift of what they brought to your life. And sometimes the greatest gift they provide is clarity through the experience of what you do not want in your life. Thanks again for the call.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, Mark, same. I have been saying for ages to people, anybody who will listen, I look at relationships as seasons. They come and they go. And when people cling on to something, it's no good, right? And to let something go with generosity and love actually gives you the capability to accept other things in, or even that thing could boomerang, to use an Australianism, and come back. So I've always been open to relationships reigniting again. And another thing that I don't do is I don't do bests and ones and onlys. I don't have a best friend. I have lots of best friends. And sometimes I'll have a season with someone where it's like our season of love. We just happen to hang out heaps that summer. But then another summer, it will be somebody else. And when people have fluidity around this, I think there's so much freedom and power to be had in our lives.